So there is no doubt, when we avoid sin and say no to temptation, we are denying our flesh from satisfying and gratifying itself. This is a significant form of self-denial. But in addition to fasting and abstention from sin, I would like for you to also consider the following. Here is how the Hebrew word for deny is used in other translations and in various ways throughout the scriptures. Humble yourself or afflict your soul. Disturb, oppress, or do violence to. To silence, treat harshly, or violate. To weaken, put down, or humiliate. The scriptural concept of denying ourselves carries with it severe and violent connotations. It is not passive abstention, but an active assault on our very souls. Consider also the following examples of this concept in the Hebrew scriptures. This is the same word that speaks of the affliction and oppression that the children of Israel experienced when they were enslaved in Egypt. It's the same word in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, that describes how Adonai humbled and afflicted the children of Israel by causing them to hunger and then to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And, quite graphically, it's the same word used to describe what happened to Tamar, the daughter of King David, when she was violated by her own brother. It's a violent, invasive concept. This kind of denial or affliction has consequences. It has a profound, lasting effect on the one being afflicted. So perhaps the concept of denying ourselves is more than just fasting or abstaining from sin. Is it possible that to deny ourselves means to do violence to ourselves, perhaps even to the point of death? Could it be that denying ourselves is more than simply saying, "More of you, less of me, Lord," but instead turning our backs on ourselves and saying no to our own lives? Could self-denial be to say, "Self, you are no more. You are dead to me. You have no control, no say in how you conduct my life, and no authority to make decisions for me." Then, as ourselves rebel against this self-incurred assault, could it be that we are to beat it down, to silence it, to pummel the egocentricity and rebelliousness out of it, to break its will, to strip it of self-ownership and put it completely under submission to its rightful master? What if denying ourselves means that we are to completely empty ourselves and allow another to take complete and total control of every part of our lives? What if the perfect example of dying to self is the one who not only makes atonement for us eternally, but paid the price for our sins with his very own life? According to Matthew chapter 26, verses 17 through 46, I'm going to read this at length. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Yeshua and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.' When evening came, Yeshua was reclining at the table with the 12. While they were eating, Yeshua took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, 'Take and eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins.